elected now, there is no end. The Democrats who want to tax and spend. Tax and spend us into bankruptcy. With a tax cheat running our treasury. You spend $2 trillion. What do you get? No recovery, but deeper in debt. St. Peter better call me, for it's too late. I owe my soul to the welfare state. Obama is a leftist, as he can't deny. Governed from the center was a great big lie. Karl Marx's manifesto is his playbook. And you and me soon will be on the hook. You're spending $2 trillion in unsecured cash. Soon the dollar will be pure trash. Our bondholders, we have to appease. We owe our soul to the red Chinese. Obama and his people are making a mess. Bernanke fired up the printing press, printing money that don't exist. No wonder America is getting peeved. You spend $2 trillion, they ain't done yet. Obama and Pelosi piling up the debt. I work hard for my money, this I don't deserve. We owe our souls. Federal Reserve.
Well, greetings, everybody. This is Pastor Buddy, and I'm joining you live tonight around the world on WWRB 3.185, part two tonight. Ladies and gentlemen, you don't want to miss it, of vaccinations. Should we use these vaccinations to go into our bloodstream? That's basically where they go. We're going to talk about what the Bible says about what you should put in your body, and actually what you should avoid putting in your body, because, you know, the time has come that, you know, men, they basically won't receive the truth. And so we are accountable for the clean and the unclean laws. The Bible is the basis for what we should put in our body and what we should not put in our body. Now, the Bible said that the body is a temple and it should be holy. Let me give you just a little bit of the report that I've been discussing with you in part one, a little bit more. Let's go a little bit deeper in the report. And then I'll get into the book of Leviticus, chapter 11, and show you what our Creator thinks that you should put in your body, and how you should receive it, and how you should reject those things that He told you not to put in your body. And we think that the things that they're manufacturing is a part of the things that I don't think you should put in your body. Now, there was a report that was submitted to Sir Liam Donaldson. He's the chief medical officer in England, the UK, and this report was also submitted to the U.S. Food and Drug Administration by Dr. Mei Wan Ho and Professor Joe Cummings. And this report went to the extent of saying that the vaccines that are being manufactured are far more deadly than the swine flu. In other words, the cure is worse than the sickness or the illness that would come up. Mass vaccinations are a recipe for disaster, say the two professors. A swine flu outbreak occurred in Mexico and the United States in April 2009 and spread rapidly around the world by human-to-human transmission. This was a result of the new type A H1N1 influenza virus, which is unlike any that had been previously isolated, judging from the first data released in May. It is a messy combination of sequences from bird, human, and swine flu viruses. the lineage from North America and Europe, a senior virologist based in Cambria, Austria, told the press that he thought that the virus could have been created in a laboratory and released by accident. Well, maybe our Heavenly Father knew that swine would play an imp- why would they pick a swine? Why is it called swine flu? Well, if you go to the clean and the unclean laws, which are specifically mentioned early in Yahweh's word in the account of the flood, when Noah was commanded to take seven each of every clean animal in Genesis 7 and 2. When he and his family were back on dry land, Noah took of every clean animal and every clean bird and offered burnt offerings on the altar. This suggests that these laws were known in practice before the flood. Even from the earliest days of mankind, because Abel's acceptable offering was there also, and these were before the laws were made known in written script. In Genesis 9 and 3, it contains a command that has proven difficult for some to understand. Yahweh said to Noah, "Every moving thing that lives shall be food for you. I have given you all things, even as the green herbs," and some think that this means that God gives every man carte blanche, an authority to eat any animal, but is that what he really said? Let's examine this. I mean, should you ingest some of these things that the Bible tells us not to ingest? The key phrase is, even as the green herbs. In other words, we know that Yahweh gives mankind the authority to eat flesh within the same perimeters as he allows us to eat the vegetation. Yahweh does allow us to eat the poisonous plants. Or does he? There has to be some discerning here. Now, even as the green herbs that you think that Yahweh said in carte blanche authority to eat of all the vegetation and then all of the animals, he did not give poisonous herbs as food. He gave man the healthy herbs. Man can determine which herbs are helpful, but man cannot by himself determine which flesh foods are harmful. And that is why Yahweh had to determine for us in his word which meats are clean, since the food that every moving, clean, healthy, non-poisonous type of animal life is good for food, just as God gave us the helpful, non-poisonous herbs. And of course, we would use our wisdom and knowledge to study and to look into these things. Now, this does not give us permission to do as we please or to eat anything that we determine that we won't eat. Now, let's go to Leviticus, and we're going to base our text and build a gestalt on it in Leviticus chapter 11, and we're going to go over to Deuteronomy chapter 14 also, which contain the commandments for Israel concerning clean and unclean meats. In these passages that I'm going to give you, he lists specific animals that are clean or unclean, or that he provides us with instructions of how to determine if an animal is clean or unclean. For instance, he tells us specifically that the camel, the hyrax, which is the rock badger, the rabbit, what we call the hare, and the swine are unclean in Leviticus chapter 11, verse 4 through 8. But regarding fish, he instructs us to determine if a species possesses both fins and scales to make it clean. That those that do not possess those qualities are unclean. And people have varying reactions to these scriptures. Some will take the position that the unclean animals are harmful to the body. many of us have had experience either personally or by acquaintance with poisoning by trichinosis, a disease caused by a parasitic worm larvae, and pork or becoming deadly sick from shellfish. I know a sister that of mine that lives in Georgia. She was telling me about a close friend, and she just went out for an evening meal, and I think she had some clams, and she went into a coma and died within the week. Did you know now that they're suggesting that because of mercury? Oh, really? Yes, because of mercury, the same scientists that are asking you to shoot your children with the vaccines, which initially contained mercury, now they say they've taken it out, but what did they put in its place? Well, we'll try to determine that. Are we really being careful enough about what we put in our body? No. Now, if Yahweh designed many of the unclean animals for specific purposes of disposing of the earth's garbage, for instance, if without feeling any ill effect, vultures can consume 59 times the amount of botulin, the next toxin that causes botulism that would kill a man. Pigs are scavengers that can eat anything, and if pork is not fully cooked to kill the worms in it, it can destroy a person's health or even kill them. And you say, well, I've been eating pork all my life, and I'm okay. Well, you could be full of parasites and not even know it. One woman that went to the hospital complaining of a headache, and when they did a CAT scan, they realized that she had a serious problem. She immediately went into brain surgery, and they extracted a foot and a half tapeworm that had eaten its way out of her digestive system plumb to her brain. And she died as a result. Ladies and gentlemen, you never know what you're putting in your body until you study to show yourself approved workmen that needeth not to be ashamed and to rightly divide. Don't believe everything that the scientists tell you. They told us that atomic testing was safe until we found out that radiation kills. And by the time that they admitted that they had done testing on guinea pigs out in Nevada and surrounding areas of the test range, and the upwind states that received the windage when it blew across the state, it infected a lot of people, and a lot of people were sick as a result of the radiation damage. And yet, they waited for the statute of limitation and then finally admitted that they had done this. Are they doing something now? Listen what the U.S. government is intending to do. Come this September, when school is in full swing by September, the government is intending, according to this report, to vaccinate all children in September when school reopens, and the country's vaccine watchdog, the National Vaccine Information Center, or NVIC, has called on the Obama administration and all state governors to provide. Now listen, this sounds reasonable to me. They want them to provide evidence that the move to inoculate all of our children is necessary and safe. Isn't that a proper condition, precondition set that we should know that the country's vaccines are safe and if they're necessary? think maybe that it'd be a logical question to ask. So, the demanding of strong mechanisms for vaccine safety screening, recording, monitoring, and reporting, and vaccine injury compensation. Now, we dealt with that in our segment of part one when we actually ask for you to consider that you really check into this before you have your children vaccinated. Now, the U.S. Department of Health and Homeland Security had declared a national public health emergency in April soon after the swine flu outbreak. What about swine flu? Why do they call it swine flu? Well, we're telling you here that the Bible is specifically telling us to avoid eating swine's flesh because of the consequences of it being unclean. Just like he doesn't want you to eat poison ivy. Have you ever gone out to get the green herbs and made you a salad out of poison ivy? Have you ever gone out to a area in the woods and picked a poisonous mushroom and dined on that? I don't think so. See, discretion. Now, some people have not used discretion and selection, and they have gone against some of the principles of logic and the Bible and have killed themselves. And as the Bible says, we're destroyed for the lack of knowledge. So, notice this. Federal legislation passed by Congress since 2001, an emergency use authorization allows drug companies, health officials, and anyone administering experimental vaccines to Americans during a declared public health emergency. See, they got to get that in there before they can get clear and they can be exempt if so be that there's a mass death through inoculation. That could happen. We don't know the results of these untested and uncharted vaccines that are being put in our children's bodies. Now, children are wonderful and resilient. They can recover from a lot of things. But these vaccinations that are being administered, or these are coming up, what worries the public most is the mass vaccination programs governments are putting in place to combat the emerging pandemic. And what would be worse than the pandemic itself would be the antidote that they're trying to give you. Do not put anything in your body that is not healthy. You are a holy temple. Now, notice, we get in Acts chapter 10, which is perhaps the best known passage in which a full sheet of unclean animals is lowered from heaven and a voice says, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." However, without hesitation, Peter replies, "Not so, Yahweh, for I have never eaten anything common or unclean," in verse 14. Now the voice responds, "What Yahweh hath cleansed, you must not call common or unclean." Verse 15. Now, when we look at this, what is the subject of Acts chapter 10? It's evident from a thorough reading of the chapter that it is entirely devoted to the conversion of Cornelius, a Roman centurion, and the first, what we would describe as a Gentile, a non-Jew, baptized into the church. Peter's vision must be understood against the background of, to be understood correctly, we must rightly divide, just like we would go out into the woods and we would pick the green herbs that are edible, as opposed to leaving the mushrooms and the poison ivy and other things that are deadly poisonous. Second part about this, it's apparent that Peter himself does not at first understand what the vision meant. In verse 17, he certainly does not jump to the conclusion that all meats are now clean. While he is pondering it, a delegation from the Cornelius household arrives and requests that he travel with them to Caesarea to speak to the centurion. And Yahweh tells the apostle directly to go with the men, for I have sent them. Obviously, Yahweh was orchestrating the whole affair to not to send Peter to eat unclean food, but to go to those who were considered unclean and bring the washing by the water and the word. And that's exactly what he done in Acts chapter 10. Peter baptized them, calling on the name of Yahweh. Now, if unclean meats had been approved, would Peter have not understood this from what we have learned from the scriptures? He lived with the very Savior who spoke to him for over 3 years. If anyone knew that the law of clean and unclean meats had been abolished by the Messiah's sacrificial death, it would have been Peter. But at this point, a decade later, he is still operating under the clean, unclean laws of Leviticus chapter 11 or Deuteronomy chapter 14. Fourth point that I'd like to make. His reply to the voice which Peter identifies as Yahweh's is quite confident, even vehement. Not so, Yahweh. This is, you know, if we were to say this in English, he would say, no way. This was a command that the apostle knew went against everything that he knew about Yahweh's law. Just like if you would say, well, all herbs, green herbs, are given for us to consume, and so we go out and we consume green herbs that are deadly poisonous, and there is a lot of them out there. But Peter knew better. Not so. Not so. No way. Within the context, Peter himself reveals what the vision meant. To those assembled in Cornelius' house, he says, you know how unlawful it is for a man of Judah to keep company with or go to another nation of people. But God has shown me that I should not call any man common or unclean. Verse 28. The vision of unclean animals was merely an illustration for Yahweh to use to help Peter understand that salvation had been open to those who previously it wasn't open to. And if we visit Acts chapter 11, verse 18, this is further evidenced by the Holy Spirit being poured out visible on the Gentiles or the household of Cornelius of the Italian band, which is in Acts 10:44-47, and then I quoted you 48, which he said, and he commanded them to be baptized in the name of Yahweh, meaning, confirming that what Yahweh had cleansed is the Gentiles, not unclean foods, which is what everybody and their grandmother take in Acts 10, that Yahweh has cleaned up everything and everything would be good for us to eat. Would you like to consume a buzzard that just got through eating roadkill? Maybe a swine that has died after it had eaten 4 or 5 poisonous rattlesnakes? Or rotten flesh, which are capable of doing? You see, ladies and gentlemen, Yahweh is not going to come down here and hit you in the head every time you eat a ham sandwich and say, you shouldn't have done that. His word is telling you, just like the NVIC, They're telling you that the Department of Health and Emergency has, when they declare an emergency, they intend to vaccinate everyone. And shouldn't they have the right to say, not so? Just like Peter had the right to say, not so, because I've never eaten anything that is unclean. Now, another passage that I would like to discuss with you that seems that to state that all flesh can now be eaten is found in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 5, especially verse 4. For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused if it is refused with thanksgiving. The flaw with most people's understanding of this verse is that they fail to read what it and the surrounded verses are really saying, because they lift verse 4 out of the context, not bothering to include relevant details from the adjacent verses. The chapter begins with a prophetic warning from Paul against false teachers and their teachings. In latter times, their doctrines would be those of demons, and of their commands and their followers to abstain from foods which God created to be received with thanksgiving. Verse 3, many stop right there, but the rest of the verse is vital to your understanding, ladies and gentlemen. By those who believe and know the truth. These pesky details change the tenor of what the apostle is saying. Notice that the subject is foods or meats in general, not necessarily unclean meat. Now, you've got to read into the passage. If we consider only the word foods, it is just as likely that Paul means that these false teachers would preach against eating beef as against eating pork or shellfish, and I know people that do that. They're vegetarians and say, well, you can't have those clean animals. You shouldn't eat those. But does that make it right? Because Yahweh gave those meats and nothing to be refused, the ones he had cleansed. Just like he gave you the herbs and told you to eat every green herb bearing seed within itself. But there are some things that you wouldn't want to eat in the green herb seeds, which are deadly poison. So, ladies and gentlemen, you better use discerning ability and the knowledge that Yahweh has given to you, else, you know, you're going to be just destroyed for the lack of fire. Now, notice that the subject is foods and meats in general, not necessarily unclean meats, like I've said. Now, verse 4 and 5. Must be taken together as they are one thought. Paul is telling Timothy not to worry about such prohibiting, because God created every creature as good, if you're eating beef. But he warned you not to eat the pork. That's another creature that he told you not to eat. God created every creature as good. Good for what purpose? Good, number one, to serve the purpose, if it's a milk cow, is to give you milk. Or if it's a goat, to give you milk. And the Bible said to drink the milk from a goat for the maintenance of the maidens. You wouldn't have to use Viagra. You see what I'm talking about? Yahweh knows things that are deep in mineral content that would be good for you, and he also warns you about the mineral content that is detrimental to you, such as when he says that these things should be offered to eat with thanksgiving. Does this mean that we should eat skunk, badger, snakes, tigers and bears, slugs and snails and vultures and rats and horses? An eel and oysters? They say, well, don't put oysters in there because I love those things. As long as we give thanks for eating poison and we expect, you know, some foods are not going to make you deadly ill and you're not going to fall over dead, but when a collection of these toxic things that Yahweh declared to be unclean, as they build up, eventually, they cause shouldn't consume pork if you develop high blood pressure. And the first thing a doctor will tell you when you go to him with high blood pressure, do you eat pork? And if you say yes, well, he said, well, you've got to switch to like chicken or lean cuts of meat. Now, in addition, note that the kind of food that the apostles were eating is bread, not meat. The Messiah later comments when he speaks generally of foods, and whatever enters the mouth, not specifically meat, Mark 7, is not about clean and unclean meats at all. Verse 19 contains the phrase, thus purifying all foods. And many have jumped to the conclusion that the Messiah declared that all foods are clean. The context, again, is the very sentences which it appears proves this false. Do you disciples not perceive that whatever enters a man from outside cannot defile him because it does not enter his heart but his stomach, thus purifying all foods? First, thus is not in the Greek text, but has been supplied by the translators. Without it, the sentence plainly states that the stomach purifies any kind of food put in it. Not that the Messiah had somehow declared all foods to be purified. He was talking about the process of the stomach is to convert the foods that go in it, if it's clean, in this case. Do you think that the Messiah ate swine's flesh? Well, I don't think so. Do you think he recommended it to eat swine's flesh? You say, well, why were the swine, what were they doing in Israel? If the law commanded that they did not keep swine, why were they herds of swine and men watching and keeping the herds? These men that were keeping the herds were Roman soldiers or Roman servants that were following the Roman occupying army because Rome marched on its belly and pork was the staple diet of the Roman legions. And you can verify that by going to read about the rise and fall of Rome. How that they had taken pork, and which is a very curable food. And, you know, coming back from the farm where I grew up, you could take salt, and when the pork would take the salt, it would bring it to a state where it would no longer putrefy. And when it grew blue mold all over the ham that had taken the salt, and it turned dark and blue mold, or gray mold, it looks so unclean, and yet it is a delicacy when you cut away the outside of the meat and get inside the ham where it's cured. That is a delicacy in the American diet. People just love ham and eggs and gravy and things of this nature. But the problem is in verse 14. Let me get to the comment. The final passage in Romans 14 may be the most difficult for one because of the way it is translated. The King James Version, and in most other translations, as in all of the other difficult scriptures, the subject is not clean and unclean foods, but eating meat versus vegetarianism. Verse 2. Paul admonishes Christians not to pass judgment on others for eating meat or for eating only vegetables. We shouldn't judge. That should be choice. As long as we're eating clean vegetables, there is vegetables that can kill you. You shouldn't eat. They're deadly. And then there's meat that are deadly. And we shouldn't eat those. And so we have to use discretion here. Paul admonishes Christians not to pass judgment on those for eating meat or for not eating meat, or for eating vegetables or not eating vegetables. In other words, it don't become a law of what we eat and what we don't eat to judge us worthy or unworthy. As long as we have the authorization of the Bible to justify that meat is clean, then a vegetarian could not say to the meat eater, I'm strong, but you're weak, or vice versa. Now, the proof is that in verse 14, let me give you an example. The text used before by the word to conclude that all meat is now fine to eat, I know and I'm convinced by the Messiah that there is nothing unclean of itself, but to him who considers anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. This is another verse that has been very poorly translated to conform to preconceived notions. Maybe even the translators had a preconceived notion. The problem is with the word unclean, which does not appear in the Greek text to mean unclean. Paul would have used akatharos, but instead the text reads kanios, which means common or ordinary, not unclean, as opposed to holy or consecrated. Peter uses both common and unclean to describe meats in Acts 10:14, so there is obviously a difference between the terms, and the poor translation of the King James, which does not contain the word unclean. Of course there is unclean meats. And so the translators, having the problem with the word unclean, they insert it, which the Greek text did not contain the word unclean. Now it reads like, well, there's nothing unclean. God's clean buzzards and snakes and lizards and frogs and swine and everything else. You see, there has to be a rightly dividing. In the case of Romans 14 and 14, it is likely that defiled would be the best term, as the meat under discussion was probably that offered to idols and then sold in the marketplace for public consumption. To paraphrase, then, the verse should read, there is nothing defiled of itself, but to him who considers anything to be defiled, to him it is defiled. The meat was not defiled, in fact, just in the minds of various church members whom Paul had either called weak in verse 2, and these weak in the faith, Christians believed that because the meat had been offered to a pagan idol, that it should become spiritually defiled. Paul explains in 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 4 through 7, that the demon behind the idol is nothing. For there is no other God but one. Thus there is no spiritual taint to the meat that is judged to be clean. And the word unclean was added, which is not in the text. You see what I'm talking about here? Well, let's get back to the mass vaccination order that's going to come down, ladies and gentlemen, and you watch for it. The mass vaccination order will come from the World Health Organization, or WHO. In early July 2009, a group of vaccination experts concluded that the pandemic is unstoppable. And Marie Paul Akini, WHO director on vaccine research, said all nations will need to access to vaccines, and that a vaccine should be available as early as September. Critics point out that the vaccination experts are dominated by the vaccine makers, standing to gain from the enormously lucrative vaccine and antiviral contracts awarded by governments. But the decisive argument against mass vaccinations is that flu shots simply don't work and are dangerous. They are ineffective and increase risk of asthma. There are widely acknowledged reasons why that the flu vaccines won't work. As already pointed out, with regard to the much-touted vaccines against the pandemic bird flu that is yet to materialize, how to stop bird flu instead of SIS-35 and their manual, the flu virus changes quickly, even without the help of genetic engineering in the laboratory, and especially with the help of the intensive livestock industry, whereas the vaccines target specific strains. Wherefore, flu vaccination does not give permanent protection and must be repeated annually, and the vaccines are difficult to mass produce, and some strains won't grow at all under any laboratory conditions. Numerous studies have documented that flu shots give little or no protection against infection and illness, and there is no reason to believe that swine flu vaccines will be any different. Now listen to this. A review of 51 separate studies involving more than 294,000 children found that in children aged from 2 years, nasal spray vaccines made from weakened influenza viruses and injected vaccines made from the kill virus prevented 82 and 59% of illnesses. The prevention of flu-like illnesses caused by other types of viruses was only 33 and 36% respectively. And that's in the stronger bodies, ladies and gentlemen, because a healthy body has the ability to fight off these diseases if it's healthy. But if it's infected with these unclean materials that are injected into the body, then the toxic adjuvants in flu vaccines will increase threefold the risk of hospitalization, according to the study of 800 children with asthma found that those receiving a flu vaccine had a significantly increased risk of asthma-related and a doctor and emergency room visits. The odds and ratios were 3.4 and 1.9 respectively, and this has confirmed in a report published in 2009 which showed that children with asthma who received a flu mist had a threefold increased risk of hospitalization. Now, what are we going to do with this, ladies and gentlemen? Toxic adjuvants in flu vaccines. Vaccines themselves can be dangerous, especially live attenuated viral vaccines or the new recombinant nucleic acid vaccines. They have the potential to generate virulent viruses by recombination, and the recombinant nuclear acids which cause autoimmune diseases to manifest. A further major source of toxicity in the case of the flu vaccines are the adjuvants, substances added in order to boost the effect of the vaccines. There is a large amount of literature on the toxicities of adjuvants. Most flu vaccines contain dangerous levels of mercury in the form of thiophosphate, and I told you that the fish in the oceans now. It was on today on worldwide news that you should not eat but one measured helping of fish once a week in order to avoid mercury. No, I'm sorry, once a month. Once a month now, they are warning the effect of mercury in the fish, in the waters. What about injecting a child with mercury because they can be dangerous? It's proven. Mothers have received their babies in a vegetable-like state after vaccination. We know that autism is a result of vaccinations. We know that. But, ladies and gentlemen, the fact is that Paul explains that a demon is behind this in 1 Corinthians 8:4 through 7. And we should not sacrifice anything to a demon or an idol. Our bodies are holy. And he has reason, good reasons, for his laws to remind us to obey him in all things and to look toward the mark and the high calling which is in our Creator. Ladies and gentlemen, we've got current status of flu vaccines. Five different companies have been contracted to produce vaccines worldwide. Baxter International, Galaxo, Smith and Kine, Novartis, and Samuel Aventis, and AstraZeneca. Already stretched beyond capacity, there is every intention to make smaller vaccine doses to go further with a range of new adjuvants. With the blessing of the World Health Organization, and flu vaccines are traditionally produced from non-virulent, they've been weakened, so that they can produce the effect of the influenza viruses for the body to be effective. The genes of the non-virulent viruses used must match those of the viral strain spreading in the population. And they don't know. It mutates to where that it would be completely ineffective if it mutated in this stage, because we know that these combination of the swine flu, the bird flu, and the human viruses, it had to be combined, because nature couldn't produce these things. It had to be done in a laboratory. And there's a lot of profit motives behind this. And I'm not just being skeptical here, ladies and gentlemen, and I'm not a prune. I know that science would debate with me if science was up here debating. But let's deal with the scientists just for a moment. I have a list of over 89 chemists and scientists that worked on this project over the last few years that have mysteriously died. And their death was very suspicious or questionable in most of the cases. Why? What are we trying to cover up here? Are we trying to cover up something? You know, if you get a little bit of poison, I mean, let's take arsenic. A little bit of arsenic, which is deadly, when it's compounded out to be administered over time, a little bit, your body can tolerate it. But eventually, if it's given repeated doses of a little bit of arsenic, and it's very hard to detect, by the way, and a lot of people have gotten away with murder, and their spouse has died of some mysterious element that couldn't be diagnosed from the test, because the liver wouldn't reveal the secrets. But now, since the tests have grown more accurate or determined to look into some of these things, it is now possible to exhume all these bodies that have mysteriously died, and they have, from the re-examining the bodies and taking tissue samples, determined that this body was poisoned. Well, what about 50 years from now? You have a child that is full of this vaccination mercury and whatever they put in here. I mean, the list is appalling, what they put in here. And I know a little minute dosage of this stuff would probably trigger the body to build an immunity. But if you keep adding to insult to injury, just like arsenic added to arsenic, the liver will finally break down and the body will die as a result. What's going on here, ladies and gentlemen? Are we being guinea pigged? Are we being set up to, as of July 2009, the CDC, the Center for Disease Control, listed a total of 40,617 cases in the United States with 319 fatalities. Given a fatality case dash ratio of 0.8% through the real death rate among all cases of infection, including the mild cases that go unreported, is probably much lower. Experts estimate that only 1 out of 20 cases are reported. Now, the UK, which this article was written and directed toward UK, is the worst affected European country, and the pandemic is in the headlines every day. In July, it was in the headlines every day, and a new telephone number hotline was set up on the 23rd of July to let people get advice without seeing a doctor. In that week, there has been a record rise in cases to 100,000 and a total of 30 deaths so far. Given a fatality case ratio of 0.03%, a more accurate reflection of the actual death rate. UK's chief medical officer, Sir Liam Donaldson, has ordered that the NHS plan for as many as 65,000 deaths. In the United States, we are being told to prepare for as many as 214,000 in this season alone. What's going on, ladies and gentlemen? Well, stay tuned, because pretty soon we're going to find out if they really are going to force vaccination upon the people of America. Well, you stay tuned, because the Bible says that your body is holy and that we should only eat those things which are healthy. And, of course, we should only use those things which Yahweh has given us to present us with the things that are necessary to know that we're holy people. I suggest that you keep a holy temple. I suggest that you flee from the very appearance of evil. And this smacks the high heaven as evil. So then, take Pastor Buddy's advice. Pray before you leap. And with that advice, you've got my message here tonight, part two, the final part of our message on vaccinations and vaccines. To vaccinate or not. Part two. Bob will have this up for you here in a couple of days, I'm sure. And we'd love for you to have a copy of it. If you'd like to have a copy of our vaccination series, you just write Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee, the zip 37824. Now that's Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee, the zip 37824. If you'd like to call me tonight, I'm live here on a Friday evening around the world on WWRB 3.185 Clear Channel. You can call me at area code 423-626-2172. And you can also download us on live streaming off of our website. Brother Bob has got our live streaming, and we stream live 24/7 now. And if you'd like to hear some of these messages on a repeated basis, there's about 1,000 hours that are being repeated 24/7. So if you'd like to just get on your computer, or if you'd just like to put your headsets on and listen to a couple of messages a day, or you could find that time, and we would offer you this privilege as a courtesy of those who love the Shepherd's Call and would want you to know some of the truth of what's going on today. Dr. Gary, my sponsor tonight, 1-877-289-7439. You need to talk to this man. He can tell you exactly and confirm what Pastor Bud has told you, that we are in a time of trouble such as the world has never seen. There's something major coming. Something is in the oven. We need to be prepared. Brother Paul for STEM Tech, 1-800-253-2748. And ladies and gentlemen, I'll see you tomorrow night, live around the world, on WWRB 3.185, where we will have our Saturday evening service at 8 o'clock. It's an early starting time. And if you can get on internet downloads, you can hear us plainly, maybe in the daylight hours in the Eastern time zone. If you're listening on shortwave, you might have some interruption in sunspots. But we hope and trust that you'll join us here tomorrow night around the world on 3.185 with the Shepherd's Call and Pastor Buddy. I'll see you then tomorrow night, and Yahweh's richest blessings would be with you. And I would suggest that you do this. You just put your hand in a pair of hands that is able to sustain you and is able to carry you on the wings of an eagle and to set you on the high mountain of Lord to be a holy and a separated people, to love Yahweh with all your heart, your soul, your mind, and your strength. I love you tonight around the world. I'll see you tomorrow night. Yahweh bless you.
One pair of hands made the sun and moon. Every bird, every flower, every tree. One pair of hands on the valley, the ocean, the rivers, and the sand. Those hands are so strong, so when life goes wrong, put your faith into one pair of hands. One pair of hands heal the sick. One pair of hands raise the dead. One pair of hands calm the raging storm, and thousands of people were fed. On her hands said, I love you, and those hands were nailed to a tree.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, hope everybody's doing well this evening. It's radio station WWRB Worldwide, radio broadcasting Manchester, Tennessee, USA. Just waiting for Brother Arnold to call in with the Repair the Breach broadcast. Should be calling in just a few moments. There he is. Stand by. I have him right up for you.